We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Lou Christian Fourier.
Tom Brady and the Bucs are 2-0, 24 for 36, 276 yards, 5 touchdowns for Brady. He now is 9-9 on the year. That 276 puts him, he needs 500 yards to pass Drew Brees' all-time record for passing yards. Plays the Rams next week.
Yep.
What do you want to give him? 250? Tough defense? Rolls into Gillette. 250 to go to stop the game in the middle of Gillette in the third quarter. As the leading passer in the NFL's history as far as terms of yards go.
Well, let's see. So Carson Wentz.
He had a rough day.
He had a terrible day. So, I mean, I know they're good, but I don't think Brady can get 250 against the Rams.
Yeah, 250. So he walks into Gillette needing 250 to pass. But he was fantastic.
You really want him to get like 300, so it's easy.
I'm just curious. What hurts more? Seeing what Brady's doing, 2 games, 9 touchdowns, 2 picks. We saw them all week one. One was, you know, dropped by Fournette, and the other one was a Hail Mary. Or 4 touchdowns so far for Gronk.
Hello.
See, the Gronk one doesn't bother me because I feel like you really beat him up and took advantage of his willingness to kill himself and destroy his body and, you know, his personality, and you completely just dismantled his personality. So he gave that up. He was willing to give that up, and it would have been glorious if you just let him go.
4 touchdowns.
4 touchdowns.
So I'm pace for 37. No, 34.
That ain't gonna happen.
No,
I'm revolving myself.
You remember, it was last week when Brady, on the Brady and on the Tommy and Gronky, whatever the hell podcast
Let's
is called.
Let's go.
Yeah, whatever it's called. Mentioned that there's a chance he wants to play till 50. Actually, Bill Belichick, they asked him this morning, and he actually answered it. Surprised him.
Sure, Tom would know better than anybody, so if anybody could do it, it's probably him.
That's all you're going to get.
That's it. If anyone can do it, it's probably him. Yes.
He can't play with 50.
Aren't you shocked he actually said the word Tom?
Yes. Yes, he wouldn't have done it if we were interviewing him.
He admitted that he has
them.
A name.
Yes, he likes
that. Oh, that guy that used to be my quarterback for, if anyone can do it, it'd be him.
So I want to get to this taunting situation as well in the NFL, because they did ask him, Ryan, if you have that up there. I think they were bringing up, I think there was a taunting in the Bucs game. Was it on the pick? I think when a guy caught it and just like at the two kind of turned
Edwards
around and backpedaled
up,
in and they threw a flag. But they were all across the league I want to get to. But this was Bill on the taunting rule here in the NFL.
Yeah, in general, I don't think there's a place for taunting in the game. I think that's poor sportsmanship, and it leads to other things. It leads to retaliation. And then, you know, where do you draw the line? I think the whole idea of the rule is to kind of nip it in the bud and not let it get started. I'm in favor of that. I think that, you know, we should go out there and compete and try to play good football and win the game on the field. I don't think it's about taunting and poor sportsmanship. That's not really my idea of what good football is.
But is poor sportsmanship and taunting what's going on in the league? Have you seen some of them? I think there were 6 different games they called them. I think I saw one with Keenan Allen caught a football, and a guy came and basically went helmet to helmet, put his helmet in his ear hole.
From the Cowboys. Linebacker.
Smoked him and got up and got in the guy's face for doing it, and they threw a flag on him for taunting.
Yeah. The other one was from the Houston Texans, Akins, who caught a pass, just got up, didn't look in the defender's face, and just spun the ball and went back to the huddle.
Didn't look at him. Turned around.
Yep, threw a flag for that. I totally disagree with Bill. I mean, I get there's certain situations where there can be some sort of retaliation, and the whole question of where you draw the line, I think you can easily draw the line. Like, nobody's getting into a fist fight during the game. Nobody is meeting in the tunnel after games to fight. It doesn't happen. To me, there's nothing wrong with what they're doing. Like, and I don't want to just, you know, oh, you know what, just let it go. Like, yeah, just let it go. Like, when is the...
Well, he says that now. We'll see when a bullcrap call like that happens against his own team.
Okay, so Lamar Jackson scores a touchdown last night. Does a one-handed, like, flip/cartwheel into the end zone.
Right.
Isn't that taunting?
Should be.
Why isn't spiking the... Well, based on... You can spike the ball, but you can't...
I don't want that called, but based on some of the stuff that we saw yesterday, I think I saw a defender break up a pass and did, like, the safe call.
Yeah.
And got up. Now, his problem was that he actually looked back down to the ground. And they're like, ooh, don't look at the opposing team. You just broke up a pass. You can't look at the guy you just broke the pass up from, because that is taunting. That's meanie. That's not being a good sport. Like, what are we playing?
Yeah, what are we, like, these guys are, like, grade school kids who don't like to be made fun of? Don't you know what taunting is
and what it isn't?
I think it's an easy, I think you can you easily stand separate
over
them. It.
You look down. Maybe you stand over them. You step over them. That type of thing. Like I can see that. Or even like that interception. You know, at the 2-yard line, you turn around, you start backpedaling. You know what I mean? Like,
but
like,
even what is wrong with that?
The guys go running into the end zone. Remember, like Tyreek Hill putting his fingers up, whatever.
Again, what's wrong with it?
I get it, but I mean that if anything, it's like taunting, I guess. But some of this other stuff, like it's like massive hits down the field. A defender is going to go there, and he's trying to take your ass out. You're trying to run through him. Somebody wins the battle. That's just the game.
Exactly.
And to get up, and if you look at the guy after tackling, if you look at him, it's going to be taunting?
I don't like the fact that this sport is inherently violent, combative, it's aggressive, it's emotional, and you're trying to sever that. You're trying to... You create a game, you promote a game that is all those things, and then you say, don't get emotional. Don't look at the player. I don't want you to be insensitive to his feelings and his thoughts and his family.
It's an emotional game.
Maybe his family's up there looking.
It's a physical game.
I don't want you to embarrass him. You just beat him. Don't rub it in. That is what I'm saying. Don't rub it in. That is just part of the sport. Nobody's flipping each other off. You're already not allowed to curse and yell and use any sort of inflammatory language. They got rid of that years ago.
You can't hurt anybody's feelings.
So you can't hurt any. You can, sticks and stones can hurt my.
What about a Derrick Henry stiff arm? That's embarrassing.
I would say
that's sort of
taunting.
Taunting.
It's a version of hurting my saying, embarrassing right? me.
Like you just stiff arm throws a guy to the ground. Like,
yeah. Who are we kidding?
It's
who are we kidding?
Stupid.
Why does the NFL? Like, force this, you know, this uptight, holier-than-thou attitude on the players. This is what... Nobody is fighting after the play. And as soon as you say something, everybody walks away. I will say the one example I remember where it really got out of hand was it Odell Beckham Jr. and when he was with the Giants?
The Redskins DB.
Was it the Redskins or was it Carolina? I forgot who it was.
Oh, he used to play for Carolina, too. And then he faced each other again.
Yeah, it was bad.
Norman?
Yes. Yes. Josh Norman.
Yes.
Okay. Terrible situation. I mean, they were trying to kill each other.
Well, Tlaib and Crabtree.
Again.
Snatched his chain.
It's rare. And I thought that was a dirty, cheap-ass move by Tlaib. And he should have been thrown out of the game for what he did. Because he wasn't taunting. He was targeting him. He was trying. He was going out of his way. It wasn't a play was over. You were part of the tackle. Oh, you broke up the pass.
Right.
He was targeting him on the other side of the field, running up to him, even though he wasn't involved in it. To me, if you're gonna change some things, I mean, come on, what are we doing? Like, can we just get rid of this penalty? Can you imagine somebody losing a touchdown or being penalized in a big game because, to your point, somebody actually turns around and flexes on them?
Well, I think actually of all the ones that we saw, I think all six of them. The tight end from Houston, Aiken, that might have been the worst one.
He spun. Well, how is that the worst one?
No, I'm just saying the worst call, in my opinion. Like, he did was catch the football.
Yeah.
He got up. He spun the ball on the ground.
Walked away.
And never faced the guy he beat. Walked back to the huddle. Never even glanced at the guy that tackled him. Got up, spun the football, and walked away. Taunting.
I think it's stupid. So you're worried. I would say you want retaliation. You want somebody to sit there, so I got to get this guy back legally, obviously. Like, we're not going to play outside the rules and the regulations of the game, but you would want him to be, all right, I got to make up for that play. This guy just flat out embarrassed me. well, why do you got to retaliate? Why does he have to say something? Isn't the fact that he did it, isn't the fact that you beat him on that play good enough? No. No. What about sack, like the celebrations in the end zone? So they encourage that. Not only do they encourage it, they say, listen, you can score a touchdown. You can have a choreographed celebration in the end zone. Go ahead and embarrass the hell out of them. Isn't that taunting? Oh, yeah, it's controlled taunting. That, to me, makes absolutely no sense. Whatever, fine, do it. Dumb it down, wait, water it down.
Tyler, tell me this tweet you just read from Dean Blandino.
Yeah, Dean Blandino used to run the officials for the NFL, blue checkmark guy. This is a tweet from 2016. Spinning slash spiking the ball at an opponent is taunting, but kicking the ball into the stands is not directed at an opponent, so no foul. That is not taunting.
Okay. I mean, we have to remember, too, that this isn't a new rule, right? This is obviously so that started, been going on for a while. They're just sort of maybe redefining it or making it more of a focus. But to sit there and say, you know, you can't spin the ball and walk away, but you can kick a football into the stands, yeah, and we don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, because it's
you less kick a basketball into the stands?
It really is. If you're in close contact with somebody and you openly disrespect them because they're just trying to do their job, Lou. Hey, they just clock in just like you do. They're just trying to. They don't need me making fun of you when you can't say your own name. So that would be. I'm sure Jeff is going to run in here at some point in time and yell at me for making fun of you, taunting you, or maybe we make
maybe
fun
I'll
of
go
Wiggy.
To him because I'm maybe, a Suns fan.
Are we allowed to make fun of Wiggy?
Yeah, you know what?
Are we allowed to make fun of anybody?
Let's make fun of Wiggy because Bill Belichick.
Is that taunting? I feel like that's stress tested. All right.
Yeah. Well, Bill Belichick was on with these guys and Wiggy asked him a question. I think about pressure, but you tell me what this question was.
Bill, when you talk about ball security, the position on the field that has to be probably the smartest at that is the quarterback position. How do you get Mac Jones to balance being smart with the football, but then at maybe times in the game, maybe being a little bit more aggressive and taking some shots downfield? Is there a tough balance that you have to coach him as a quarterback to be able to do both of those, but doing them in with a smart, I'm kind of trying to draw a question here, but a smart idea of knowing that, hey, you can force the ball, but don't force it into a bad situation.
Do you guys know what he asked?
No, wait. No, I.
What did Bill say?
No, I think it was the snorting.
Right, well, that's, as you know, that's really the kind of the key to, you know, really that part of that position.
Yeah. You know what? Here's the thing. You know what?
Bill played along with him.
Bill loves Wiggy.
Yeah, because if not, you'd be like, I don't understand your
question.
If that
was you or me.
Me.
Well, how many times did he do it to me?
He doesn't like you either,
Oh,
actually.
No, no. He doesn't know. He would have embarrassed me.
I don't understand your question.
Yeah, what are you talking about? That makes no sense. Say it again.
Draw but up
Wiggy,
another one.
He just lets them ramble on.
With a smart, I'm kind of trying to draw a question here. But
I would say this. Okay, I get it. We can laugh at you because we've been in those positions before. Yeah. But he likes you. He has pity on you. I would say this. Let Courtney write your questions.
Yes.
Let Courtney write your questions. Yes. Tell her what you want to say and then let her say it. Let her write it down and then read it verbatim and then see what happens.
So we gave Courtney a lot of credit because I think she does an outstanding job with him. You could tell that she's polished in questioning. But you said you ran into her one morning and she, because we're just sarcastic bastards.
Yeah.
Did she think we were actually making fun of her?
No, I needed to confirm to her that we actually liked the way
she said,
did it.
Were you guys joking?
She didn't believe
us. Sarcastic?
Yeah. No, no.
No, it's true.
No, I think she does a great job. She has it all thought out. It's usually a good question. Listen, that interview is tough no matter who's doing it. I don't care. Ask every single person
I think
that came before you.
Fantastic.
But I can tell you, if Wiggy was going to be honest, he probably hates these interviews more than we ever did.
Well, he should stop answering his own questions.
Well, he should try to write them out. Let Courtney, I'm being serious, let Courtney write it out for you. Kind of, you know, treat her like a tutor. And then say, listen, this is what I'm trying to say. You know, I'm from East Boston. You know, we do things different. Well, we like to answer
Bill,
our own questions.
One of the things that I kind of noticed in the game yesterday, I know you talk about the compete level, but one of the things I thought you guys did well was on first down, you were kind of staying ahead of the sticks and put yourself in good position so where you could be really efficient on third down. I think you guys were 11 for 16. Talk about how important it is to win first down and put yourself in good positive position so when you do get to second down and third down, you're in a good reasonable yardage.
Agree. Like, what does Bill say to that?
You're right.
I cannot be happier that I don't have to deal with this.
Well, there's no doubt. First down has a lot to do with third down.
Yeah. I sleep so well Sunday night knowing that this interview is being done at 6:30. What I'm telling, I would like to make another suggestion. Can we go for awkward silence? Can we go for something? Can we go for something? I know, you know, Greg tried to get him to get into the whole, you know, some different conversation and, you know, Edelman's imitations. He tried to get into that.
Yeah.
But, you know, listen, they're trying. It's a tough interview.
It is. It's not fun.
We can talk about coaching and playing better. I think one of the things that stood out for your team, which normally we don't see, is the amount of penalties that you guys had. What was kind of that message right after the game, obviously, to players and letting them know you can play physical, you can play hard, you can compete, but you got to make sure you don't put yourself in bad situations where you're getting, you know, penalties called on you.
See, that's what we screwed up.
You know what I'm going to do?
We should have answered every of our own questions so he would have said, I agree.
I tell you what I'm going to do.
And it would have seemed like it was a better, you know, we got along better.
I'm going to take Wiggy's questions. Yeah. I'm going to get them transcribed. I'm going to take him to an English teacher.
Take him to the streets.
And I'm going to take him to an English teacher. I'm going to say, listen, this is the question that was asked.
Oh, with a smart,
don't do that kinda, with him. Because they can do the same thing with that question.
Oh, that's my point. That's why it's fun.
Stay away from English teachers.
That's why it's fun.
Make it fun to everybody.
Why don't we give these questions to Spaz for Thursday? Ask that the people on the street of Boston.
No.
Okay, so we have to.
Those questions.
I don't think they would understand what the question actually is, though.
No. That would be the comedic value of the segment.
So take Wiggy's question.
They would just say yes.
Transcribe it and then see what the people say. I think you'd get, I love bacon and eggs.
Bill, when you talk about frustrating, I know.
Stop. I can't do it anymore. All right, listen, we come back. I got to talk a little socks here because it was a big weekend.
I'm taking a break.
Big weekend. Sweeping the Orioles. That's right. It was a big weekend. The other thing, too, is because the Yankees suck. And Gerrit Cole lost Cy Young yesterday, in my opinion. I'll get into that as well. We'll do some socks talk. That's coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, yo, let's do a little something for the brothers that be fronting.
Yeah, all right, but we need a beat that they can front to. Oh, that'll work. Be funky. You know what I'm saying?
All right, welcome back. Maloney and Poirier, the Boston Red Sox, took all three games this weekend against the Baltimore Orioles. They do have tonight off while they sit and watch. What we got? The Yankees are home against the Rangers, and the Blue Jays are in Tampa, rather. Robbie Ray's going. So that's going to be an interesting series to watch. So the Blue Jays and Tampa's playing each other here tonight. You're off, and then again the next two nights when you play
Yankees.
But it's funny because I hear a lot about how the Boston Red Sox soft schedule is the only reason why they're going to get in down the stretch.
What about it? We've been talking about that for months.
Yeah, I understand that.
Why is that a problem?
Because everybody in the American League East plays the same team.
I know, but okay, so I almost feel like you think
the
people
same amount
are devaluing their accomplishments. Like, okay, so people are saying, they're only getting in because they're playing crappy teams, where it just happens to be at the end.
I know, but which means they've already played the good teams.
No, I know.
But do you understand what I'm saying? So it's like, well, the Yankees got a tough schedule on a stretch. The Red Sox is weak. Well, because the Red Sox have already played Tampa and Toronto. They're done. They took the season series from Toronto. know, they took the season series from the Yankees. It's guaranteed. So this thought that, like, it's only because they got six with the Orioles. Well, maybe the teams are close to them, like the Yankees, because they've already played the Orioles. And Toronto is one game behind them because they've already played the Orioles. So now you got an opportunity to play the bad teams and do what they were doing to them earlier.
But there's this perception that they're sneaking in because they're playing crappy teams.
Correct. But when the Yankees went on a run and they played nothing but Toronto, Baltimore and Kansas City and everybody else that sucked, we never sat there and said their schedule's easy while the Red Sox played 24 of 27 games against the Yankees, Rays, and Blue Jays.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden their schedule softens up, and that's the reason? No. No, the schedule was very difficult there for a while. They got through it, and now you're sitting here with a 2.5 game lead over the Yankees and a game lead over Toronto. And you're sitting in a pretty good seat looking down the road. And you, I mean, you're a Tampa Bay Ray fan here in the neck. You wanted them to take 2 out of 3 from Toronto, you know, or sweep them or whatever. I don't know if they will. We'll see if Toronto stays hot or not. They kind of cooled off, dropped one. So we'll see how it plays out. But I don't know. People forget that they play the same teams. It's sort of like if the Patriots ended the year with, like, the Jets and a bad Miami team or another bad football team, and you're like, oh, they're only in because of a weak schedule. No, well, Buffalo's already played these three teams. You know what I mean? Like, so they got a tough three game, but they're playing the same schedule, right? So what the hell's the difference?
No, I'm not devaluing the wins.
Well, I feel like it is. It's the reason why they're getting in.
No, but it is. But okay, but nobody's looking back. That so, I mean, I get what you're saying. They're devaluing the wins because it's okay. You're just lucky as opposed to the Yankees, and nobody's looking back. You know,
ironically, the reason why the Yankees are going to miss the playoffs is because of the Baltimore Orioles. They're 11-8. They lost 8 games to that team. You know, they only won like 40. You know what I mean? It's just, it's pathetic. But the Red Sox, Garrett Whitlock is a big concern. He goes out yesterday in a game with something to do with his pec. I don't know. Sarah Moore comes in. It's a mess. But the Red Sox pull it out, yes, because it's the Orioles. But that's what everyone's been doing to the Orioles, except for the Yankees. Like, that's a beautiful thing. Now you got 2 with the Mets. You know, we were talking before, what do they need to be? You know, I wanted them to go, what, 10-4 in the last 14? Well, they just took 3, so 7-4 enough? But the way the Yankees are playing, they might be. You know, I don't even know. I'm going to go real quick. I want to go to David in the car real quick on this Red Sox topic. Go ahead, David.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thank you for taking the call. By the way, I just want to say great interview with Mac. You guys do a great job. Thank you. So I don't think it's a perception like Christian just said. I think it's a fact. And I know it's the way the cards, it's the way the cards roll. It's the way it goes. But they are playing. I think the reason if they are getting in and they do get in, it's because they happen to get lucky playing crappy teams at the end of the season.
See what I mean?
You know, I think that so I don't think it's a perception. I think it's reality.
He's just saying it's a fact.
You don't get it. Like, Toronto's a game behind you. They've already played the Orioles. I think they got 3 more with the Orioles. So they've played more games with this crappy team than you did. So you just caught up. That's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about. He thinks it's a reality. The teams have already played Washington Nationals. They've already played the Baltimore Orioles. You just get to play them now. And maybe that's the reason why they're close to you, is because they played crappy teams. You know, you got an easy schedule down the stretch. I just, you know, it doesn't make any sense. So now you're, what, 7-4 left? Because I wanted to go 10-4. I think now it's like, to me, it's Yankees are struggling. So 8-3, I want to play that home game. I want Toronto at home. And I think 8-3 might get that done. So, because again, if they tie, you won the season series. So if they tie, you play the game at Fenway Park, which is huge. Huge for that team. And the Yankees? Oh, my God. They got pounced the last 2 days. Gerrit Cole. Right now, everybody thinks he's the Cy Young Award winner. If a beat writer votes for Gerrit Cole to win a Cy Young, they should take their vote away. There's no way in hell the best pitcher in the American League can roll in on a Sunday in a must-win situation for the Yankees, who are trailing in a wild card, and on the verge of losing a series against the Indians as opposed to wininging it. And he takes the ball and goes, what, 5 innings, 7 runs? You lost to Cy Young. You can't win the Cy Young. Yeah, I'm basing off one start. And he's been okay this year. He's been very good. I get it. But still, when it's a close competition, Robbie Ray should win the Cy Young. You cannot win the Cy Young and pitch the way he did yesterday in the playoff race in September. You can't do it. That team is a mess. But you know what? Good God bless them all. I hope every Yankee fan is happy, because you know what? You got Gallo and you got Rizzo at the deadline. And you didn't get to go over the luxury tax threshold. But in about a month or so, when you're eliminated in 2-3 weeks, you're going to sit there and say, we just gave up, what, 8 prospects just to save a few bucks in the luxury tax? Don't you think you'd be better off just taking a few dollars into that luxury tax threshold and not give up the better player or as many better players in a trade? So, yeah, you can keep applauding him. I don't know how Cashman keeps his job, to be honest with you, after the year he's had. That's just an embarrassment. But the Yankees getting ready. I mean, Red Sox day off today. They got two with the Mets, a day off, and then a big Yankee series over the weekend that you never know. May just eliminate the New York Yankees with how they're playing.
That'd be great.
It would be fantastic if you could do that over the weekend. All right, when we come back, I want to dive more into this Patriots win over the weekend against the New York Jets. Mac Jones, his performance. And was it really a great Patriots defense, or was it just a very poor Jet offense? We'll do that. Maloney and Forey continue right after this.
Again, as we go to break, our poll question. What concerns you more? The Patriots defense stopping the run, the Patriots offensive line protecting the quarterback? Log on and vote. We'll have more for the Patriots fifth quarter right after this.
Yeah, you did a lot better.
Hot Mike Sunday before you. Did they ever tell you, like, you know, like you're off? Like, you're good?
Nah, no, I just kind of...
He doesn't wait until the all clear.
No, no. Yeah, all on clear. On that one, they were actually supposed to go to commercial, but there was, like, a full-screen graphic that we didn't know about. I'm following Steve Burton's clues. Like, well, I'm just following him. He's my leader. I follow him.
He's
a leads me down to a break. I think I'm taking a break. And Mac had just spoke, and he had mentioned how many times he needs to do better and be better. I want to tell Steve that he needs to do better. But here's the other thing I saw with him. In that post game interview,
Steve?
No, with Mac, he's the guy you want to be as your friend. Like, you want Mac Jones as your best friend because he will take the blame for everything. You get in trouble, sorry, Mr. Malone, it was my fault. I told him I'd have him home, and I did it. So, I mean, he takes the blame for everything. You drop your phone, my bad, I'll get you a new one.
We can get better. We can do a better job. I can do a better job.
But it's always his fault. Like, everything is his fault. The defensive issues, his fault. Takes the blame for it. Takes the blame for everything.
That's not. Is that a bad thing?
Yes.
Why?
Because I get it.
He's just being him.
No, no, dude.
He's being a rookie quarterback.
Have you ever seen a...
Just hanging over his shoulder.
Come on.
Last week, you blamed Damian Harris's fumble on him.
That's my point. He's doing it again.
It was my fault. I should have put him in a different spot. It was first and goal from the first and 10 from the 11. And he fumbled, and it was his fault.
But isn't that the type of guy... I guess every guy wants that guy as a... So if Zach Wilson throws a pass to Corey Davis, he rolls right, it's Corey Davis drops it. I don't know what Zach Wilson said. Probably nothing. But what do you think Mac Jones
could have been
said?
A better throw, which it could have been.
It most definitely could have been and would have been. Do you think Zach Wilson is taking the blame for that?
I didn't hear Zach.
No, I didn't either. But my point is,
I know his mom
probably
Probably not. Social media.
So
all right. So the game. So the Patriots win this game 25-6, and a lot of the talk. Obviously, oh, by the way, we interviewed Mac Jones earlier today at 2:30. Yeah, if you missed that interview, you hear the entirety of it. We're going to play that at 5:10, just over 30 minutes from now. You're going to hear that at 5:10, Mac Jones, quarterback of the Patriots, right here with Christian and Lou. It's conservative game plan again. Okay, let's face it, all right? 1-for-3 in the red zone again. He is yet to throw a pass attempt in the end zone. Hasn't done it yet. And I'm here to tell you that they're doing the right thing. They're absolutely doing the right thing. After the first game, there was a lot of talk, and I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that he looked so good that they felt like Josh McDaniels was too conservative, that they should have opened it up, you know, that it was just dink and dunk. But you've got a rookie quarterback trying to figure this thing out. Watch that game yesterday. Would you rather have Mac Jones protecting the football, taking what's in front of him, trying to move the chains, taking 5 yards at a clip, 6 yards, whatever it might be, or would you rather have Zach Wilson throwing the ball carelessly down the field to I don't know who, I don't know where the balls were going. But, I mean, what would you rather have right now? The Jets suck. The Jags suck. They're trying to get their quarterbacks to probably do more than they're capable of right now. It's obvious neither one of them are ready to play. I don't know what they're going to be in their careers, but right now they're not ready. All right, they're making huge mistakes. Meanwhile, Mac Jones is playing it very conservative. And I think Josh McDaniels is doing the right thing early in his career. I don't think he'll be like that in week 13 or next year, but I think right now it's the right move. Don't ask him to do too much.
No.
Because he'll make mistakes.
I see. I don't think he will. I think he's talented enough where you can unleash him, but I don't think they have the personnel for it. So if you're into sexy, if you're into flair, if you're into, you know, you know, late night, you know, romps around the neighborhood. You know, this is not the offense for you.
No.
If this is, if you're into missionary position, if you're into vanilla ice cream,
yes,
if you're into, you know, keeping your t-shirt on and the lights off, this is the offense for you. And don't get, it's not going to get any better. Like, it's not going to get any better. They almost have no choice but to keep it clean, to keep it safe, to keep it PG. That's what it is. You got a PG offense. It's not going to change. They're not going to let him unwind it. And I think he wants to get out there, and he wants to get dirty. He wants to get freaky. He wants to sit there and audible and send his guys deep.
He did one.
He can make those throws.
He did once.
They won't let him. So I think he's scared. I think he's scared. I think he's so nervous about being that guy, about being that guy that makes the mistake, being the guy that puts this team in a terrible position, being Zach Wilson. So instead of taking a slightly bigger risk with ultimately a better outcome, a bigger reward, he keeps it clean. He keeps it PG. He keeps it consistently boring and matter of fact. That's him. That's all. That's what he does. So, I mean, I guess a lot of people want him to, you know, release the hounds. And
I think he will. But I don't think it's now. I was looking at Mikey Reese's article saying that he's 29th out of 33 qualified quarterbacks in air yards per attempt at 5.3 yards. You know, he's also the first quarterback at 70-plus completion percentage in each of his first two NFL starts. Minimum 10 pass attempts. But still, there's a reason why. So the percentage is still up there. What did he throw, 71% again in this game? And, yeah, there was seven passes to running backs. That's what he's attempted, seven passes to running backs on checkdowns. That's the second to most in the NFL behind Ryan Tannehill. But I feel like when watching these two guys play the game, like the New York Jets didn't even allow Zach Wilson to kind of get into a flow of the game by just taking a few, like maybe that's just him, you know, not taking a check down, you know, maybe completing your first couple of passes, getting into the ball game. They're running the ball well, you know, rather it's like throw the ball in the middle of the field. I don't know where that first pick went. I don't know why he even threw it. J.C. Jackson was standing in front of Corey Davis, and Devin McCourty was behind Corey Davis, and he threw it. You know, the second one, Phillips' interception. But still, taking shots downfield outside the numbers early in the game, don't you want to get your rookie quarterback in the flow of it? Like kind of like how Josh does with Mac Jones. I just think it's the right play. And I know people will still be screaming it's too conservative, but I just think it's smart where he is.
But I would say, you know, you have one extreme with Zach Wilson, you have the other one with Mac Jones. And I will say, so post-game last night, they were asking Mac Jones about why he wasn't throwing the ball down the field and why he was apprehensive about it. And I will guarantee you, if anyone wants to bet me on this, he actually takes the blame.
I think it was just me. Just I can push the ball down the field more, and I can definitely just hold the ball in a good way, just maybe move and try and make a better throw down the field on a lot of plays. So
I'm telling you, he's afraid. He doesn't want to he wants to please Josh and Bill so much that he won't do it. And I would say they don't have the personnel offensively to go fast. They don't have Kansas City. Aguilar is borderline B-level wide receiver. Okay, he is a nice little change up if you have other pieces around him. But I mean, you're going to have to set that up for another 4 weeks until he gets behind the defense.
Like a double pass?
Maybe a double pass.
In which Aguilar, according to all reports, was flying downfield wide open when he took a check down on a double pass. He took a check down to Jonnu Smith 10 yards downfield that he ran for another 7 or 8.
Yeah,
on a double pass?
I feel like, okay.
What's the first thing on a double pass you look for? Isn't it the deep guy
first
to come back?
Yes.
And he looked short first.
Okay, flea flickers and double passes. There's always an outlet, like a safety outlet. It's usually the tight end or a back. The first look is you're setting it up for a home run shot.
But that wasn't his first look.
No, he was open.
I see. When you say he's scared, I don't think it's him. I think it's what they're telling him. I don't think it's him. I think he would like to do it. I mean, as a matter of fact, I think it was after, I don't know, pick number 2 or 3, he actually audibled out was when he threw that beautiful pass down to Jacoby Myers down the sidelines. Beautiful pass, like a 26-yard completion down the sidelines. But he audibled out of that thing for that pass. I think it's in him. I just don't think they want him to. I think that they have put it in his brain. I think they have told him
so
many times.
That's my point. He's scared,
to take that 5 or 6. But they've created his first look. It's not even like a check down anymore. It's almost like his first look.
I think they've oversold it to him. I think they've overtaught it to him. I think they've taught it and hammered in that he's so nervous about making a mistake of turning it over. He'd just rather take 10 instead of 40. So on the same exact similar play, Zach Wilson, Corey Davis's interception, it's just a bootleg naked with a deep crosser of Corey Davis. He's got a guy open in the flat.
Running back, yeah.
Okay, but you know what? He doesn't want that. Zach Wilson wants a deep pass. He wants the money shot. He wants that big gain.
Right.
So what does he do? He gives up a 5-yard gain.
Which is what Mac would have done.
Which is what Mac will definitely do. But what Zach Wilson does is he throws a rocket of a bullet, okay, to Corey Davis. He can't handle it because it's coming in too hot. So he drops it, and then it's intercepted. I think Zach Wilson made the right decision. He just threw a terrible pass.
All right, do you want him to see them open it up a little bit more, put a little bit more on Mac Jones's plate, or do you think they're doing this correctly as far as how conservative this offense is? 617-779-7937. Let's go to Joe in Connecticut. Joe, you're on with Lou and Christian. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
What's up? Good, how are you?
Christian, I don't think we want a sexy quarterback here. We want a guy who gets the job done, and Mac's getting the job done. There's nothing more he could have done these last 2 weeks to not come out with 2 wins. If anything, he did everything he was supposed to do, because you don't need to do more than that to beat these 2 teams at all.
So Joe, I get it. I agree with you to a point, but I think that he's gun-shy now. He's nervous now.
I don't think
Even though the plays are there, he's avoiding them. He's avoiding them because he doesn't want it to end up as a bad play. So he's just risk-averse. That's it. That's just all he is.
I would ask you, like, is this conservative approach hurting them? Is this part of the issue and why they're just 2-for-7 in the red zone? You know, and
yes, why is that obvious?
But that's what I mean. Like, I don't have a problem with it as far as a mindset, protect the football, win like this. Now, I don't think they'll be able to do it in a couple weeks when they play Tampa. That'll be an interesting game to see if they open it up. But you know, Josh, this is what I think Josh wants from him. But then when you get into the red zone, then it turns into now what? Like, it is more crowded. Like, these little 5-yard dump passes or 2-yard dump passes, guys are on the line of scrimmage. And it's just, it's going absolutely nowhere. Like, there isn't one pass attempt to the corner of the end zone, the Aguilar, and like a jump ball, like just a fade. There isn't not one attempt in 2 games. Have you ever seen that in the NFL? Like a team that's actually been, you know, even getting blown out. You get some cheap scores at the end of games or something. Has there ever been a quarterback that has not attempted one pass in the end zone in 2 games?
I can't remember
one. I don't think it's ever been done.
It's amazing. It is amazing. I feel like they're overselling it. I get it. They want to be safe. They rather get the 3 points. They know they have a good kicker. And I would say they know they're playing a crappy team that really can't threaten them in any way, shape, or form offensively. So they say, why risk it? We don't care about the biscuit. Why risk it? We're good with our kicker, who has now hit 33 consecutive field goal attempts. Why should we bother with it? We'll take the 3 points. We know they can't score. They're playing the Jets. Now, you play against a team that's going to push you and, you know, challenge you and force you to score points. Well, it's obvious what you're going to do. Like, you've never done it. So suddenly, and I know Josh McDaniels is a lot more creative than he's showing. I just think they don't want to risk it.
I think they're handling it the right way. But, you know, again, Brady, I think, actually leads the league in passes inside the 20 with 20 in 2 games. 20. Now, I'd imagine a lot of them have been in the end zone. This kid hasn't attempted one in the end zone. Dallas, week 6. Like, those are the ones that stand out. Maybe not in New Orleans. I don't even know who the hell New Orleans is. I don't know if anybody does after what we saw last week, the first 2 weeks. You know, then it's what, in between Houston. I don't know who Houston is. I don't think they're a very good team. But Patriots, Tampa, Dallas, like, there's going to have to be attempts in the red zone, in the end zone.
This offense,
field goals aren't going to get it done against just, you know, there's a lot of 50-50 games on this schedule. Like, you look at a team like San Diego, or what are they called now? The L.A. Raiders? The Chargers?
Yeah.
Like, that's a team that kind of opens it up a little bit, too. Like, there's going to be a lot of teams that are 50-50 games on this schedule that you're going to sit there and say, okay, like 3's not going to get it done. It's not going to get it done.
Yeah.
Let me go to Kevin, who's on the road right now, because he thinks you're dope. I like this
get
guy.
Get in line, Kevin.
I like Kevin. Kevin, go ahead. You're on with Lou and Christian.
Hey, I agree with Lou. Christian, you should know better. Brady, who started out the same way, you know, very conservative, I don't know why you don't think he's doing it that way. He's following what the coaches want. What the hell are you thinking?
I know he's following. But why did they spend all this money on receivers and tight ends? And why do they draft backs? And why do they bring back Trent Brown? And why? Why spend so much money if you're not going to use it? If you get a sports car, are you going to leave it in your garage on a bright, beautiful, sunny day like today? No, I'm driving mine. And I'm going as fast as I can as long as there's no police there. This offense is built for comfort, not speed. That's what the thing is. So fine. Really? You think that's what Josh McDaniels wants? A boring, stale, non-crazy sex life offense?
You watch in about 6 weeks, it's going to change. Well, once he gets comfortable, once he understands the playbook better, you should know better.
I don't think this changes. You think they have the personnel?
Are you fine with the first 2 weeks? And you feel like it's going to get better as far as, because I'm fine.
What does getting better look like?
Like just right now, you're sort of, it's just almost like the first drive of the season, right? Like the first half of the quarter of the season. And they're just trying to get him comfortable. They're trying to get him confident before they sort of, allow him. Because I still think they're not allowing him to kind of look at those looks. It's almost like this is your first look. Like on that double pass, your first look has to be to Aguilar. And it wasn't. He caught the ball and saw Smith right in front of him and threw it to him.
Safe.
Like the first guy in front of you that's open, give it to him. It's for 5 yards, fine, do it. But that's what they're putting in his brain. I think eventually it'll turn, but I'm fine with the first 2 weeks. Now, if this is week 10 and this team is sitting there like 5-5 and it's still this, then I'd say, well, okay, this is just a development year. Was this just a waste of a season? You're not going to let him do anything with all these weapons? We can have that discussion then. You've got all these weapons in here and that's it, 5 yards? Has he thrown a pass in the end zone by week 8? I hope so. But right now, after 2 weeks, I'm okay with it. I'm okay for 2 weeks. Let's see how long it goes. I want to go to Adam in Canton. Adam, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I think it's absolutely deliberate on the coaching staff, and I think it's genius. This guy is going to go into the film room tomorrow, and he's going to say, hey, I made a positive play here, but I could be better. Zach Wilson's going to go into the film room and say, wow, I suck. I think this is great. I think it's genius. You keep the guy from getting too down on himself early on, and he comes out of the film and he says, I'm good. I can be better. I think it's great.
All right, thanks, Adam. On the flip side, I was looking at Zach Wilson, and we've seen this with Patriots. All you need to know, to me, is like what Bill thinks about quarterbacks. Because we've seen it before. If he feels like this quarterback on the other team is going to just eventually give you the football, he doesn't bring much pressure. He just will rush three guys and just flood the secondary and think eventually he's going to give me the ball, which is what they did. They blitzed him 11 times. 11 times. That was it in that game. And he was awful. 13 of 25. Three interceptions. His four interceptions came when there was absolutely no pressure on him at all. I debate that because I see that text, but then I watched that first one and Bentley came right up the middle, was about to smoke him, right? But when Bill does, he's a quarterback that's like, eventually he's going to hand me the ball. We're just going to sit back, flood the secondary, let him do it. He also usually doesn't bring pressure on guys that run. A guy like Lamar Jackson, he sort of like just tries to pocket him. It's only like certain guys that are, old school pocket passes that can beat you. Like a guy like Stafford, maybe. He might bring the pressure. Or Breeze or someone like that. But a guy like this, who he knows is going to give it to him, he doesn't bring much pressure. He just sits back and lets him do it.
But even
which is what happened.
Like a slant route. Have they completed a slant route? I can remember even like a slant, a basic first day of installation slant route. Have they completed an option route? Like none of this stuff. They completed a seam route.
Hmm.
Henry ran had a version of a slant yesterday.
Who?
Hunter Henry.
Oh, they said Harry. My bad.
No, Henry. Harry is on his way back.
Well, Hunter Henry had the Gronk, the seam route, right? That was a big chunk play.
Yeah.
Wide open. Holy smokes, wide open.
And I mean, safety is totally on the other side. But just even those just option routes, they can't run those? Do they not have anyone who can run them?
Well, I think you mentioned two of the personnel,
they were, and they were
right?
terrible Aguilar. On third down. They were terrible. The Jets were better than you on third down. You were like 28%
three
on
for
third
12.
Down.
3 for 12, I believe.
It's terrible.
Yeah, not good enough. Not good enough. And I do. I think in the red zone, that's where it kind of hurts you. That's where it hurts you a lot.
You're lucky you played the Jets.
Yeah, and I think on the flip side of it, I want to get into this Patriots defense. We're going to do that when we come back after this break. Reminder, at 5:10, you're going to hear our interview with Mac Jones that we had earlier in the show. By the way, this hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations. When we come back, we ask the question, was it really about this great Patriots defense or just a poor Jets offense? We'll do that next on Maloney and Fourier.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.